When the Imam alayhi salam sat down in Karbala, one of the first things he did was to purchase the land. And at the same time, he donated it back to them, but he placed certain conditions.
I just have one condition, and that is after we have been killed, after we have been buried here, people will come from all places to visit where we have been laid to rest and take care of these people.
So on his arrival to Karbala, Al-Hur sent a message to Ibn Ziyad to say that finally I have stopped Al-Hussein from moving. He is camped here and I await your orders of what to do. So Ibn Ziyad read the letter and said back to Al-Hur that I cannot rest until I complete the mission with which Yazid has set me. Tell Al-Hussein he must submit to the authority of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. And as he said, he was given the message and the Imam tore the message up. And he said, this is my reply, you've seen what the reply is. Ibn Ziyad has a bad ending to his life, that's the reply.
So Ibn Ziyad got that reply, so he wrote back to Ibn Sa'ad and he said, yes, you can be excused. You don't have to go out and fight Al-Hussein, but you have to give back to me this written promise that I have given you to be governor of Ray.
So he traded something, a stance which could have been noble and saying, no, I will not fight Al-Hussein, for something that said, I will fight Al-Hussein as long as you give me rule, maybe 5, 10 years, whatever a period of time, governorship of some land.
When Al-Imam Al-Hussein, alayhi salam, was camped in Karbala, he wrote a letter to his brother, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah.
But this time this letter had only one line. It says, in the name of God, the most benevolent, the most merciful. It appears that this world never existed and the hereafter is everlasting. He could foresee what was going to happen in the days ahead.
Hussein bears witness that there is no Lord except Allah. He is one, he has no partner.
Conserved by faith.
I have kept one for your father, Al-Hussein, but he's much, much more thirsty than you.
Engraved in hearts.
Yazid is evil and I am good. Yazid is batil and I am haq. The only way you'll see this is if I am killed in the desert and I'm willing to go through this.
An undying faith. The story of Hussein. Peace be upon him. Ibn Ziyad wrote Ibn Sa'd saying, I have not left you any excuse with regard to providing you with plenty of horses and men, so you should not receive the evening nor the day thereafter before I hear good news about you. He urged him on the 6th day of Muharram to start the war.
Back in Kufa, Ibn Ziyad was getting more and more angry. He was determined to send as many men as possible against Al-Hussein alayhi salam. And so he went to Masjid al-Kufa like he'd done so many times before. He commanded the people to come and listen to him. He ascended the minbar and he gave another very threatening speech.
Now obviously here he has a very clear mission to assemble an army, to deter any supporters of Al-Hussein, to strike fear into the hearts of the people, and to take command of the situation. Now it was very dangerous for Ibn Ziyad. Hussein was close to Kufa, a day's ride away from Kufa. And thousands of people in Kufa were supporters of Amir al-Mu'minin, supporters of Hussein. So he needed to take control of the situation. So he takes to the pulpit with these words.
Oh people, you have tried the children of Abu Sufyan. You have tested the children of Abu Sufyan, and you have found them just as you would like them to be. You know how good in conduct the commander of the faithful Yazid is. Now, I don't know what sort of good conduct Ibn Ziyad was referring to, the drinking, the licentiousness, the murder, but he says, you've seen how good in conduct the commander of the faithful Yazid is, and how generous he is to his subjects.
So clear misinformation. So for those who were unsure of the situation, the non-Arabs that lived in Kufa, the people who had just converted, people who were traders who'd come to Kufa to trade, people who were not really educated in history and religious matters, now are thinking that Yazid is a good person. So this is the first issue, misinformation. The highways have become, during his regime, quite safe. So he's trying to promote the rule of Yazid.
So now Ibn Ziyad makes a promise. And he says Yazid has promised to double all of the money you get from the public treasury, to make this money freely available to you. But he does require one thing from you, and that is you must go out and fight his enemy. You must go out and fight al-Hussein.
Now, clearly supporters of al-Hussein, would, you know, this would not affect them. But for the masses, because Kufa, remember, was a hub. It was a metropolitan place. People who were passing from Iraq to Hijaz, people were passing from Persia to Sham, people were passing from north to south. It was a key area to stop. It was full of soldiers, professional soldiers, armies of Banu Umayyah, and before then armies of the Khulafa themselves. It was somewhere where people who were interested in religion resided, people who maybe perhaps had learned from Amir al-Mu'mineen. It was people who supported Yazid lived. It was traders, it was servants, it was non-Arabs, new converts, a mix of people. You could not say that Kufa are 100% supporters and followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen, of al-Hussein ibn Ali. For this purpose, this tactic by Ibn Ziyad was going to work.
And of course, this was always how Ibn Ziyad approached the situation. On the one hand, he was offering people immense amounts of money, gifts, whatever they wanted, to support him and to fight al-Hussein. And on the other hand, he was threatening them and even killing them if they did not.
The next thing that he does is he rounds up some of the key leaders of Kufa from the Shia of al-Hussein, from the supporters of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he says to them, each one of you, you take men from your house, you take soldiers, and you go out to Karbala now. Some were very reluctant to do so. Ibn Ziyad threatened them with death. So they left. They came out to fight al-Hussein. And the Maqtal literature tells us this, that Ibn Ziyad bribed a large portion who did not know al-Hussein, and then he forced a group of people who did know who Hussein was. And these were in their thousands. So they left Karbala. It is said on the journey they deserted. They turned their backs and they ran away.
And so Ibn Ziyad realized he needed to take sterner measures. So what he did is he arbitrarily picked a man in Kufa. Now this incidentally was not a resident of Kufa. This is a man who had come from Syria. One of his relatives had died and he was there to collect a bit of inheritance. Ibn Ziyad arrested this man. He said, this man has not gone out to fight al-Hussein, and then he executed him. And once the people saw that and they saw Ibn Ziyad was serious and how ruthless he was, then they began to report for duty in the army.
One of the persons who arrived there between the 4th and the 6th of Muharram was Habib ibn Mudahir, very distinguished companion and later became the martyr of Karbala.
He had instructed one of his servants to remain in the gates of Kufa with the horse. And in the night, when there is less supervision and control, he would take the horse and he would depart to join Imam al-Hussein's followers and caravan. This servant of Habib, who had been standing there with the horse, would speak to the horse, and the history records beautifully how he would say to him that if my master Habib would not come, by God, I will take you and I will go and fight alongside Hussein ibn Ali, and I will sacrifice my life for the grandson of Rasulullah. And Habib, when he was approaching, he heard this. But then he would free the slave and would say to him, you are now free, go. This servant falls down onto the feet of Habib and said, you want to take and fight alongside Imam al-Hussein and go to Jannah, and you're depriving me of this, I beg you and I implore you to take you with me.
When he arrived, he conveyed his he met Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and what happened was that Hazrat Zainab salawatullah alayha conveyed her salam to Habib, and Habib had tears in his eye and he said, has a day come in our lives when the ladies of the household of Rasulullah are conveying their salams to the companions?
So Habib ibn Mudahar had a plan. He said to the Imam, the villages of Banu Asad are very near to us, and me being somebody who is known among the Banu Asad, surely I will ask for their support and they will respond. Give me this opportunity. So the Imam agreed, and Habib ibn Mudahar left the camp of Hussein towards the villages of Banu Asad.
And so he went to them. He said, I'm from your clan. I'm from Bani Asad. They recognized him. And they said to them, come out now. Come out and support the son of the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, because this will bring you honor in this life and in the next. The members of Bani Asad spoke about it, and 90 of them decided that they would come out and support Ali Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and thus they made their way to Karbala.
The Banu Asad wanted to help, but one of them went and informed Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. So when, as they were about to set off for Karbala, on the way they were ambushed by this very train of cavalry and infantry which ran from Karbala to Nukhayla. They were ambushed and killed. And none of them could arrive. They all fled basically because they were afraid for their lives.
On the 7th of the month of Muharram, Ibn Ziyad decided that he had to make the situation more difficult for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And so he wrote a letter to Ibn Sa'ad and told Ibn Sa'ad that he had to take his soldiers and block off the Euphrates River so that al-Hussein and none of his companions would not be able to get any water from the river. And he told Ibn Sa'ad, deprive these men of the water of the Euphrates, just as Uthman ibn Affan was deprived of water before he was killed.
Ibn Sa'ad posted his horsemen to guard the Euphrates in order to prohibit the Master of Martyrs from reaching it. Al-Hussein's followers found no access to water, and thirst bit them severely. Al-Hussein took an axe and walked behind the women's tents 19 steps in that direction of the Qibla, then dug a well of potable water from which they drank. But it soon dried up. Ibn Ziyad sent a letter to Ibn Sa'ad saying, it has come to my knowledge that Al-Hussein is digging a well and reaching water, so he and his company are drinking of it. As soon as this letter reaches you, you must prohibit them, as much as you can, from digging all these wells. Expose them to the severest of hardships. He instantly dispatched Amr ibn al-Hajjaj with 500 horsemen to the watering place 3 days before al-Hussein's martyrdom.
And of course, in the heat of the desert, and amongst approximately 150 who were there, there were cries of thirst, and there were people complaining. And this was, of course, due to the command of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, who wanted to suffocate and to harm the members of the Ahlul Bayt and the companions as much as possible.
And because they'd been prevented by Ibn Sa'ad's men, Al-Hussein turned to one person he knew he could trust with such a mission, Al-Abbas ibn Ali, his brother, and he said to him, the situation is tragic, we need some water. And so they said, Abbas took a few of his men, remember these are numbering not more than a couple of dozen, and he made his way to the Euphrates. It is said he came out in such a way that nobody dared to stand in front of him. And there was a small skirmish, but really apart from that, nobody would dare to come out against Al-Abbas ibn Ali, salamullah alayhi. And he reached the Euphrates River and he took some of the water, enough maybe for a day, not more than that. And he made his way back to the camp and water was given to the men, the women and the children. But Ibn Sa'ad now saw this happening once, he was not going to let it happen again. So he came out to meet on the seventh day with the Imam to try to reach some sort of conclusion.
During the course of those days in Karbala, until the arrival of Shimr ibn Dhul Jawshan on the 9th of Muharram, Umar ibn Sa'ad had discussions and had spoken to Imam al-Husayn. And Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam tried to persuade him and to remind him about his duties towards the religion of Islam, towards the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt.
The Imam said, Ibn Sa'ad, are you fighting me? Do you not fear Allah to whom you shall return? You know who I am the grandson of. Why don't you come to our side? Leave behind what you're doing. This will be better for you with Allah.
Umar ibn Sa'ad then talks about worldly matters, that I have a house, I have a family, wealth. An imam would say, I would guarantee all these for you. Umar ibn Sa'ad would yet and would continuously deny and object and would not support the imam. By which the imam finally, when he saw that this man is not willing, he would say to him that I can see that this governorship of Ray will never reach you. And you will be killed and the people and the children will play with your head on the streets.
After speaking with Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ibn Sa'ad decided to write a letter to Ibn Ziyad. And in this letter, he lied. And he told Ibn Ziyad, of course quite untruthfully, but he told Ibn Ziyad that al-Husayn had offered to go off to a distant place or even to put his hand in the hand of Yazid and negotiate man to man, as they were, to try to come to a solution.
So he's saying to Ibn Ziyad, I'll stay out of it, you stay out of it, you bring Yazid, let him meet al-Husayn, let them sort their differences out. Al-Husayn made no such offer. There was no such words from al-Husayn at all. He never offered to leave, he never offered to meet Yazid, he never offered to meet Ibn Ziyad, he never offered to go and live somewhere else. He knew this is where he was going to die. But Ibn Sa'ad needed a way out of this, which is why he wrote this letter to Ibn Ziyad. Now, some of the historians who have a bias try to use this to say, well, look, al-Husayn offered to give bay'ah to Yazid. Al-Husayn offered to live like any other Muslim under the authority of Yazid. Al-Husayn was willing to run away from Karbala to somewhere else. How is this possible? Al-Husayn says to his people, this is where we will die. He was looking for Karbala all his life. Was he now going to go live somewhere else and change his destiny? It was not possible. But this shows the treachery of Ibn Sa'ad and unfortunately the historians.
Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, when he saw this letter, was at the onset impressed with the efforts of Umar ibn Sa'ad in negotiating a kind of a settlement and a resolving of the dispute. Yet next to him was a man by the name of Shimr ibn Abdul Jawshan.
Shimr was with Ibn Ziyad at this time, and Shimr did not want that to happen. So he warned Ibn Ziyad. He said, are you really going to accept this kind of offer from al-Husayn now that he's actually settled in your land? By Allah, I'm warning you, Ibn Ziyad, if you let al-Husayn go now, he will only get stronger and you will get weaker.
And therefore, Ubaydullah Ibn Ziyad sends a letter to Umar ibn Sa'ad admonishing him and saying to him, we did not send you there as an intercessor or a negotiator. We sent you there to execute our commands, which is to either fight Husayn or to take him as prisoner and to bring him as captive to us. And therefore, you must fulfill these commands, as we said.
And he said to him, if you are unwilling, Shimr ibn al-Jawshan will take lead of the army. So Shimr comes to the battle of Karbala, comes to the lands of Karbala, approaches Ibn Sa'ad and says to him, here is the message from Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Sa'ad fears the worst because his plan is now foiled. He reads the letter and it says to him, basically fight al-Husayn or give up your position. And Ibn Sa'ad is angry at Shimr ibn al-Jawshan. He says, this is what you've caused. I had a plan, I was working on something, you've messed it all up. You forced me to fight on Husayn. And Ibn Jawshan says to him, stand aside, if you're unwilling to do it, I'll take care of the army. But Ibn Sa'ad says, no, you will become head of the infantry, but I lead the army. In a way to say, even though I don't want to fight on Husayn, I will, because I want position in this life. I want Ray, I want to be head of this army, I will not let down Ibn Ziyad. Though I don't want to fight, but I'm going to, you forced my hand, you forced me to fight. So Shimr is the ambitious one, he wants to assume power. But up until then, he has to follow Ibn Sa'ad's lead. Ibn Sa'ad's unwilling to fight al-Husayn, but he does not want to give up position and power.